How's it going today, guys? Welcome back to Locked On Clippers, the official LA Clippers podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Garrett Korpenning. In addition to this show, I cover the Clippers for Clipperholics, which is FanSided's one and only Clippers blog. You can also find me on Twitter at G.A. Korpenning. That's G-A-C-H-O-R-P-E-N-N-I-N-G. I'm also on Instagram with the same username if you're interested in following me there. Feel free to send me questions, comments, and anything else you feel relates to LA Clippers basketball. My DMs are always open, and I would love to talk to you guys about the team. So guys, it's been a good week here so far. Really enjoying the show this week. Really got some good positive feedback from you guys, and I appreciate hearing what you guys have to think about the show. So to cap off the week, I'll discuss why the Clippers bringing in Danilo Gallinari was a failed experiment, and why the team must find a way to move on from him and his contract. And then I'll get into my Friday segment, Weekly News Roundup, and touch on several of the biggest headlines around the league. And to close today, I'll be talking about why the Clippers should focus on restructuring Tobias Harris's deal this summer and give him an extension on his contract. So first and foremost, I talked a little bit about Gallinari in some past episodes. And if you've been following along with my articles on Clipperholics and those sorts of things, then certainly you've seen what I think about Gallinari and his season with the team. And unfortunately, if you are a Gallinari fan, I'm sorry. I don't think that what he did this year was really impressive by any means. With the little amount of games he played and that sort of thing, and the production he put out when he did play this year, certainly wasn't up to par with what I expected to get from a guy like Gallinari with the money he's being owed. So after just one season with the team, it's already become evident that Gallinari may not be the wing the team was looking for. Like I said a little bit ago, he played in just 21 games this past season due to numerous injuries, which, while that was to be expected to a certain degree, Gallinari certainly hasn't had the most injury-free history in the NBA. He still underwhelmed when he was healthy. Gallinari is a career 37% shooter from three, and this season he converted just over 32% from that range, which is really disappointing considering his three game is what makes him so unique. That's such a large part of his game, and Gallinari at 6'10" is one of, he's a much taller forward, and most guys at that height, unless we're talking like Kevin Durant and talking guys, seven-footers and that sort of thing that can knock down threes like that. Gallinari, is a bit of a unicorn and was when he first came into the league. With the range that he has, that's what makes him so special. And even when he's healthy, he's not knocking down that at a really good rate. It kind of devalues Gallinari a lot. And this season, I really wasn't impressed by what he did. And you'd think after countless attempts of getting a quality wing, after going through guys like Chris Douglas Roberts a few years back and even Danny Granger, I think that same season actually, that eventually the Clippers would be able to get a hit on a more reliable guy like Gallinari. And once they finally do, once we get him there this season, to have this be the outcome, it's really a bit of a letdown, and it's unfortunate that this is the way it had to be. And I'd like to say that getting rid of him is easy too, but unfortunately it's not going to be, because Gallinari is, like I mentioned about his big contract there, he signed to a 3-year, $65 million contract, which he signed when he was traded from Denver to LA. And with the season he just put together in LA, it'll be hard to move him when he's still due about $45 million over the next 2 years. And all that money, by the way, is guaranteed. And I know it sounds like I'm being harsh here, but Gallinari was the second highest paid player on the team last season, behind DeAndre Jordan and just above Tobias Harris, and not including Blake Griffin, obviously, and has more money guaranteed than any other player on the roster. All $65 million of that contract is guaranteed for Gallinari, with about $21 million or so being paid already. So, when you're shelling out that kind of money for a guy to play 21 games and underwhelm with the one thing he's known for, that's not really a good thing. But like I said earlier, moving on from him won't be easy. And with him on the roster, eating up all sorts of cap space and that sort of thing, he'll make it hard for the Clippers to sign any sort of star in free agency without letting go of another big contract like DeAndre Jordan's or Tobias Harris's. You know, I've talked about it before with, you know, situation with Kawhi Leonard and that sort of thing. You are going to have to give up a player with a lot of money due to his name in order to get someone like that on the team, to sign him to that kind of contract they're looking for, one that, you know, satisfies both sides. And if you're not going to give up Gallinari because no one wants him, then you're going to have to cut a more, you know, cut a similar contract, do a similar amount of money. And unfortunately, the players right now that have those kind of contracts in the team are all really vital parts of the team, like DeAndre, who, you know, might go this season, or this offseason, might not. And Tobias Harris, I'll talk about him later about why I think he should stay. And then other guys like Austin Rivers also have a bit of money due to their name. So when the most important players to your team and to the core of the roster are the ones that you have to move to sign somebody like that, it really hurts to have a guy like Gallinari on the team eating up that much space when, you know, he's the one that needs moved to bring in a star like that, but no one's going to take him. So it just complicates things further, and it really, you know, it's unfortunate, like I said before, and it's a harsh blow for a team like the Clippers looking to pursue someone that can, you know, do a little more in free agency. But the Clippers aren't going to find that good of a guy like Leonard on the free agent market, but they can potentially find someone that can do what Gallinari did for a little bit less money and maybe even more on the defensive end, because there are a lot of quality wings in the market this summer that I think could easily match or do better than Gallo did last season for a lot less money. For example, Trevor Ariza is on the market this summer. You guys know him from the Houston Rockets. He's a great three-point shooter, great force on the defensive end of the floor. And they also have Jeremy Grant, who isn't much of a three-point shooter, actually shot worse from that range than Gallinari did this past season. But Grant did play 81 games with the Thunder and is also a much better defender than Gallinari. So that kind of begs the question about, you know, what is better, having a guy that isn't as good as Gallinari play 81 of 82 games in the year, or have a guy like Gallinari that is supposed to be very good and, you know, was okay in his time this season when he did play on the court, play 21 games. You know, is consistency more important to you, or is higher overall play in shorter stints more important to you? And I think, you know, me personally, I would say that having someone play that many games, I think that is a lot more important than, you know, just being there for a little while. And we, you know, we saw it with Blake Griffin in the past few years when he would not be able to play more than 40, 50 games a year. But you have someone that's consistent, someone that's healthy come off the bench. Sometimes people would even ask for that person to just start over him because of the reliability and that sort of thing. And it's not always the right thing to do. But if the money's right and if it's something that's crucial to the future of your team, then maybe getting a you know, worse overall player that's a lot more reliable for a lot less money is the right move, and in this case it certainly could be. But finding a suitor for Gallinari is going to be difficult. Teams aren't going to want that kind of contract, and if they do, they aren't going to give the Clippers great players in return. It wasn't just this poor play that frustrated fans this season either. The constant injuries were a hassle to deal with, and just yesterday actually news broke about Gallinari's hand. If you haven't heard about that, Gallinari's hand, after that fracture he suffered towards the end of the year, still isn't 100% healed. However, he did rule out surgery, but instead he needs to have a better understanding on how to recover quicker, which is something I think we would all agree with, since Gallinari did miss a very big portion of the team's games this season. So to sum it all up, Clippers are stuck between a rock and a hard place, to put it in the simplest terms. Finding a suitor will be next to impossible, and holding out hope that Gallinari will just stay healthy really isn't a smart move, and you know, you shouldn't get your hopes up for something like that, especially with someone with his history. But until the team can figure out what to do with him, they'll just be pressed for space, and I'm hopeful that Gallo can have a bounce-back season next year if he does stay. It seems like the team is in full support of him with you know, bringing him back and that sort of thing. At least that's the indication early on, but there's still a lot of time left this summer. So I'm hopeful he has a bounce back season if he does stay, but I don't want to get my hopes up, and neither should you, just because of what we saw this year. You know, anything really would be an improvement. So, but for the money we're paying, you know, it's something to consider. So, Gallo may very well be a lost cause, but the Clippers could still make some great moves this offseason. In this week's edition of Weekly News Roundup, we'll take a look at some of the week's biggest headlines, including a Kawhi Leonard sighting in Los Angeles. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Clippers is listened to by 98% men and 80% of those men between the ages of 18 and 44. If that speaks to you and that's a fan base your company would like to advertise to, give me a holler. You can email me at gcorpenning@outlook.com. That's GCHORPENNING at outlook.com to get things started. Our rates are very reasonable, and I would love to do business with you and your company. Coming up, I'll give my take on why the Clippers need to focus on extending Tobias Harris's contract, but first it's time for Weekly News Roundup. I want to start off with what could be the most pressing news. Doc Rivers is likely to receive an extension and will remain the head coach of the LA Clippers. This is going to be a bit of a debate in Clippers circles, just because, you know, evaluating Doc's value on the team has been something that's been, you know, certainly a topic of discussion among Clippers fans and that sort of thing. Rivers's time as a GM for the team certainly wasn't acceptable, maybe is the word there. It wasn't great. But as a coach, Rivers has done a pretty great job, especially this past season with, you know, what he had to deal with and what he had to work with to get to where he did. Rivers did do a great job. And so the extension might be something you're for, might be something you're against. I would love to hear what you think about that. Details in the extension are unknown to this point, since the deal hasn't been made official yet. But barring any crazy changes, it seems Rivers will remain coach of the Clippers for a few years to come. Rivers has a career win-loss record of 846 and 624, which is a 57.6 winning percentage. This past season was the first time he's missed the playoffs, actually, since the 06-07 NBA season when he was with the Boston Celtics. And as you know, just a couple years after that, the Celtics did go on to win the championship. Not saying that's what's going to happen here, but if history does repeat itself, then we could be in for something good in a few years to come here. And it's also the first time the Clippers have missed the playoffs since 2010-2011 NBA season. So sticking with the coaching theme now, it was announced this morning, actually, that Toronto Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey was fired after coaching the Raptors to a franchise record of 59 wins and securing a top seed in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors were swept in the second round by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and if you listened to yesterday's show, then I'm sure you know my take on the situation, and if you missed it, I will give you the short version. Personally, I believe the Raptors are struggling more because of their roster than because of their coaching. A duo of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, you know, Lowry, a good player for the money, but not you know, a superstar point guard by any means, and DeMar DeRozan, a shooting guard that can't shoot the three at a high enough rate. You know, no matter how you look at it, that team isn't going to bring you to the finals in either conference, in either situation. It's just not going to happen. And the talent they're surrounded with isn't really good enough to back them up in the playoffs as well. And I think you either have to make moves just around those players with better talent, or you trade one of them. Like, there's not really an in-between option there. But, you know, it's the NBA. It's a business. There's got to be someone to blame for whatever happened. And I guess the Raptors thought that after being swept 2 years in a row by the Cavaliers in the playoffs, that firing Dwayne Casey, you know, the franchise's best coach in history, is the right move. Then if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's the right move at all. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess the Raptors don't listen to my podcast and don't think what I have to say really matters. So, to each their own, right? I also have a few injury updates for you today. One for Patrick Beverley and one more for Danilo Gallinari. Like you heard earlier, Gallinari's hand still has yet to heal all the way, and he's ruled out surgery, which is good. And on the other hand, Beverley shared a video on Instagram yesterday of himself back in the gym doing a core and leg exercise with 405 pounds of weight on the bar. Beverley suffered a knee injury in November that required season-ending surgery, and it appears that Beverley is still progressing along his road to recovery. So if the team is unable to draft a point guard in this year's draft, Or even if they do, look for Beverly to reclaim his role as a starter for the LA Clippers next season. There might be some competition there for him next year, but it seems like in most cases there, Beverly will return as the team's starting point guard, and rightfully so. And lastly, in today's weekly news roundup, Spurs forward for now, Kawhi Leonard was spotted at last night's Los Angeles Dodgers game. And the significance of this is really up to you. It's for you to decide, since Leonard hails from the LA area. But with the amount of speculation lately about Leonard's future and his inability to attend Spurs playoff games, is this a sign of things to come? Personally, I think it very well could be. Leonard, you know, was unable to show up to the Spurs playoff games because, you know, for whatever reason that was there. But now, a few weeks removed from the Spurs being eliminated from the playoffs, suddenly he's just at LA Dodgers games and that sort of thing. Doesn't seem like, you know, maybe he's being totally honest about what's going on. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's his core, his team there, what's going on with that, his group. But Leonard showing up in LA is a sort of peculiar thing, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Leonard moving forward. But I'd like to know what you think. Do you think it's just a coincidence? Do you think Leonard maybe is kind of dropping hints that maybe he'll be in LA next season? He's getting used to the area, getting used to the team. So we'll see what that means moving forward. But for now, it's probably nothing. However, it very well could be something. It just depends on what you look at it as and the way you think about players being a little fun, so to speak, leading up to free agency and that sort of thing. So it was also shared earlier this week that NBA executives do believe that Kawhi Leonard is going to be out after this year with the Spurs. So do with those two things there as you wish. Connect those two. Don't. It's up to you to decide. Let me know what you think about that. So to wrap up today's show, I'll be talking about why the Clippers need to extend Tobias Harris's contract. When the Clippers extended Lou Williams' contract in March, it was a big victory for both sides. Not only did the Clippers get the rights to hang on to Lou for a few more seasons, but they kept his pay at the same rate, $7 million a year, instead of waiting until he became a free agent and likely ever paying for him. A lot of contending teams would love a guy like Williams on there to be a spark plug off the bench like he was supposed to be and was for LA this past season. If he did become a free agent this summer, then you could really expect the price for Williams to be jacked up pretty high. Clippers, by no means, would have gotten him for $7 million a year. So extending Williams this summer, or this during the season, was a fantastic move by the front office, and one I think they should repeat when it comes to Tobias Harris. The Clippers would be wise to do the same with Tobias, who will become a free agent at the end of the 2018-2019 NBA season. Harris is currently signed to a four-year, $64 million contract, and given his performance with the Clippers, it seems he could be getting a larger payday if the team doesn't act now and beef up his deal. Harris, isn't a franchise player, not by a long shot, but for the money and for the level of performance he puts out, restructuring his deal seemed like the best option moving forward. So rather than waiting again for Harris to become a free agent after next season, the team could act now, extend his contract a little bit, give him some more time with the team, and also give the team more cap space to work with, since so many guys are due up at the end of next season. And having someone like Harris to not so much build around, but just kind of team up with and have as a guy that free agents, potential free agents, want to play for in Los Angeles. So having Harris there on the team, I think, would be a great move. And extending his contract now, I don't see any reason not to. The cap space makes it difficult to do. But this summer, Clippers do lose a few guys to free agency, which should happen. That space will be there, and the team should be able to get the deal done. So, guys, that's going to do it for today's show and this week's episodes of Locked On Clippers. I hope you enjoyed listening, and thanks for tuning in. On Monday, I'll be back with the weekend's biggest stories, a Monday mailbag, and I'll talk about why the Bobby and Toby show needs to become a reality. Thank you so much for listening today. Clipper Nation, once again, I'm Garrett Korpenning, and hope you enjoyed today's show. You can find more from the Locked On Podcast Network on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and other online podcast platforms. I'll catch you guys on Monday.